especially on the day of Pentecost. Let's read it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabs, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed, and some were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" And others, mocking, said, "Ah, these men are full of new wine." Amen. I want to take my thought from that one question there. What meaneth this? What is going on? What does this mean? Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Little did the dwellers and the revelers and the partiers that have come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks realize this was not going to be like any other Feast of Weeks. This Pentecost was not going to be like any other Pentecost. Things were getting ready to change. Hallelujah. Amen. They didn't know. Isn't that amazing about God? You never know what a day is going to bring. You may have woke up this morning, dragged yourself out of bed, didn't know if you could even get here, but you made the effort and here you are. Amen. You may be feeling lower than a proverbial snake's belly. You may be having a tough and a terrible and no good day. But I'm telling you, all of that could change before you leave here. You may be down and discouraged and despondent and in despair, but I'm telling you, that can all change before you leave here. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, world can turn right side up before you walk out that door. Hallelujah. Because something happened at Pentecost. Amen. Oh, they just came. It was always a party at Feast of Weeks. It was one of the three feasts that all males above the age of 21 were obligated to go to. Wherever they were in the world, they were supposed to somehow make their way to Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks. They wanted to commemorate the fact that God had given the law to the Jews on Mount Sinai. And that was always a big thing, that God would write in tables of stone with his very own finger the law of God and put it in the hands of a man to carry it down to the people. And then God would make a covenant with Israel, give them his law. That's pretty spectacular, isn't it? Amen. But I'm going to tell you, at Pentecost, God superseded what he did at Sinai. Hallelujah. He wrote one more time. The Bible said that he didn't just give us a law written with his finger, but now he engraved it in our own hearts. Amen. We have the living word in us today. Praise God. Hallelujah. You have the spirit of truth in you. And the Bible said that he would lead you and guide you into all truth. Thank God for the Holy Ghost today. Praise the Lord. When they came, they didn't know what was going on. It was something else. You remember what Jesus said after his resurrection? He said, "Go to Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from on high." And he called it the promise of the Father. They went, I don't know if they knew what to expect, but they were in that upper room just simply waiting on the Lord. And the Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, God said, now's the time. Hallelujah. And heaven began to rejoice. They were all with one accord in one place. They all wanted one thing. Everybody say one thing. They had their mind on one thing. Praise God. They were all excited about one thing. They said, I don't know what it is, but I'm ready for it. I don't know what the promise of the Father totally includes, but I want it. I'm here, God. Amen. You got to get your mind on one thing. When you get your mind collected and you get your mind on one thing, I want what God has for me. I want everything that God has for me. Amen. And your mind gets made up and you finally get focused and your heart gets fixed, then God can give you what He wants you to have. Amen. Their mind was made up. The Bible said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. I say from heaven. Oh, it was a heavenly sound. Praise the Lord. You know, heaven doesn't sound like the world. There's something different about it. Amen. Now, I know that a lot of people wouldn't understand exactly what we're saying here. Things that sound good to God don't necessarily sound good to man. You can hear somebody sing and say, oh, that's the most beautiful thing I ever heard. God looks on their heart and said, it's full of pride. Huh? I don't even want to listen to that. Turns it off. Amen. Hear somebody singing off tune. Amen. Couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but their heart's right, and they're excited about it, and they're enthused about it, and they're singing it with all the love that's in their heart. And God said, that sounds pretty good to me. Amen. You know, heaven hears differently than earth hears. Amen. But there was a sound from heaven God sent to earth. Amen. And the Bible said it was a rushing mighty wind. Praise God. Now, you see, when God blew out His breath, you remember what happened when God created Adam? The Bible says he formed him from the dust of the earth. And then he reached down and he did CPR. He got his lips all puckered up and he went... And all of a sudden, Adam's chest rose, and his eyes flew open, and his heart began to beat, and his blood began to flow, and he sat up, and he stood up, amen, and he received life. God breathed into him the breath of life. Jesus came, and he formed a church in 3.5 years of ministry, but it was not a lively church. It had no strength. As of yet, it had little life. Amen. Peter couldn't stand up to a girl in the courtyard. It had no backbone. It had no strength. It denied its very Lord. Amen. But on the day of Pentecost, God had formed the church. And just like He did with Adam, He breathed into the church. And when the breath of God blew in that place, and the Holy Ghost came upon them, strength came into them, power came into them, something literally transformed their lives. And they would never, ever be the same again. Woo! Hallelujah. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Anybody here ever received the Holy Ghost? Anybody here ever felt the breath of God as it come in and brought you a brand new life? Hallelujah. The Bible said the Holy Ghost came in that place and cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of them. I don't know if it was a literal fire, but I know it felt like fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all, everybody said all, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues. Amen. As the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to tell you, I still believe that's what Pentecost is. I believe that when you get the Holy Ghost, you will speak with tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. You can water it down, you can change it, and a lot of churches try to do that, and a lot of people try to do that, but that's what happened at Pentecost. That's what happened to Johnny Grisham. That's what happened to many of you in this place, and that's what God wants to happen to everybody in this place before you leave here today. Somebody said, well, why doesn't that happen in my church? Do they preach that in your church? If they'll preach it, it'll happen in your church. God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't care what the sign says outside. That doesn't concern God. He doesn't care how many degrees the pastor has. He can have more degrees than a thermometer, or he may have none. That doesn't bother God. All God cares about is preach the word and receive the gift. God wants to give the Holy Ghost to everybody, just like He did in the book of Acts. Amen. When we preach it more, we'll have it more. Let's not explain it away. Let's go ahead and just receive it today. Hallelujah. And so they received the Holy Ghost. They spake with tongues. The Bible said, and I love this, it says that they were all amazed. I like that. And marveled. It's pretty marvelous, all right? It's pretty amazing, all right? Hallelujah. And they started saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? You know what Galileans were? Hicks from the sticks. They were saying, these are not educated people. Amen. I don't know how in the world they could learn what they learned. I don't know how they could speak what they speak. Amen. Now, let me clarify something. Some people say that the reason that God gave them the Holy Ghost and they spake with tongues is so they could preach to these other people in their language. That's not what that said. That's not what that said. They were not preaching. Let's look down just a little bit further and see what it says. Very important. They were not preaching. The Bible says, what was it they were doing? The Bible says that they were glorifying God. That's what they were doing. Verse number 11. It says, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. We're not preaching. Peter did that in just a minute, and he preached in a language that everybody there understood. So the purpose of speaking in tongues was not so they could preach to these people in their languages. Everybody there understood one of two languages, either Aramaic or Greek. And most of them spoke both. So when Peter stood up at Pentecost and began to preach, he preached in a native tongue that every Jew there would understand. Amen. So when they spake with tongues, it was just to magnify the Lord. It's what we do here today, isn't it? Amen. Amen. God still does that. Amen. It's not unusual. Almost any missionary you talk to can tell you a story where they heard somebody in the country where they live, if they speak another language, they've heard them speak in English. That does not speak English. Cherie heard a little old girl about 5 years old way back in the bushes in Colombia. Little girl that we made have been the first white people she ever saw. And when she got the Holy Ghost, she started speaking in tongues, in English. She didn't speak English. Amen. She didn't know English at all. She began to speak in English. And she didn't just say, I love you, Jesus. She was saying these great flowing phrases of praise and adoration to God and using words that any five-year-old wouldn't know anyway. Just praising the Lord, glorifying God. Amen. That wasn't so that we already preached to her in Spanish and she got the Holy Ghost. What was the purpose of tongues? To glorify God. Amen. And maybe to encourage a missionary kid. Amen. But God, you see, when they spake in tongues, the purpose was just to glorify God. When you get the Holy Ghost and talk in tongues, it's to glorify the Lord. Amen. You don't preach in tongues. You don't preach in tongues. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God gave out the Holy Ghost and they heard Him speaking in all these different languages. They said, what are these hicks doing talking like this? Amen. And they were amazed. They marveled. Amen. And they go on to talk about all these people that are there and how in the world can they do this? And then the Bible says they were all amazed. And then it says, and some were in doubt. Everybody say doubt. Amen. That always rears its ugly head, doesn't it? If you can kick out the doubt, amen, you can receive from God anything that you need to receive and what He wants you to receive. But you got to get the doubt out. Amen. So they were in some doubt here. Doubt comes in. And of course, you've always got people that want them all. You've always got people that just want to make a joke out of everything. Their explanation is, oh, they're just a bunch of drunks. Well, they may have been acting like they were under the influence, because they were. But the Bible said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so that's exactly what happened to them. They were not under the influence of alcohol. They were under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. And said, these men are full of new wine. Peter said, no. He said, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not hitting the bottle this early. They said, what does this mean? And here it is. The Bible said, Peter said, that he stood up with the 11, everybody standing up together, all of them saying, amen, preach it, brother. Amen. This is that which was, everybody say this? What are you talking about? This. This talking in tongues business. Amen. This worshiping God business. This Holy Ghost business that's going on. These 120 people you see up here, influenced and filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, this is that. Pointing back to a reference in history that he drew from the book of Joel, chapter 2, that everybody there understood, everybody there knew, because they learned it in their synagogues. He said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show thee wonders in heaven above and signs and the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, that was his text. Went over to Joel chapter 2, and then he began to preach from that verse. Amen. Now here's what's really interesting about that, is Peter was preaching something he didn't even believe. Hey, you get anointed by the Holy Ghost, you'll say things that you say, and later on you think, why in the world did I say that? It's scary sometimes. Amen. But he got to preaching, and he said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He didn't believe that. He meant all Jewish flesh. God had a lot of convincing to do before he'd ever preached to a Gentile. But he finally got there 12 years later. Amen. But he starts out preaching, and he takes his text and he preaches, and he said, this is that. Joel talked about this. God pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. And he begins to preach, and he preaches about Jesus Christ and how he was the Messiah and how they crucified him and how God raised him up from the dead, and they knew all this. It had just been 50 days since all that had happened. They saw all of it. They were witnesses. Jerusalem was still full of Jesus Christ. And was he a prophet? Did he really resurrect? Is he really alive? Jerusalem was still humming and it was still vibrating with the news of the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now it's exciting here. Amen. And so everybody's, the noise is going on. Everybody's talking about Jesus. Amen. And if we can just get everybody talking about Jesus, great things could happen. Hallelujah. And they did. And so he goes on and he begins to preach more. And when he gets down toward the end of his sermon here, he gets a little heavy maybe. And he says, verse number 36, he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. Everybody say assuredly. That means sure enough. That everybody sure enough know this. That God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Woo! Amen. And when he said that, it was like a hammer hitting home. And the Bible said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. It hit them right here. Ah! That was the Messiah. That was Christ. That was the one that promised to come. What are we going to do? Amen. And so they said, men and brethren, What shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, you ready for this? You ready for this? Amen. Now I'm going to preach it the way Peter did today. I'm not going to water it down. I'm not going to change any of it. I'm just going to spit it out there. Is that okay? Amen. And so Peter said unto them, repent. Everybody say repent. That's what he preached, wasn't it? He preached repentance. Amen. He said you've got to change your life. You can't keep living the same way. Amen. If you're going to follow God, you've got to quit going your way and you've got to go His way. It's going to be a 180 degree turn. Everything's going to change. Amen. It's more than saying I'm sorry. It's saying I'm through. And it's saying I'm going your way, God. I want to live the way you want me to live. Amen. Repentance. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not just confessing Jesus. It's more than that. It's changing your life the way that God wants it to be. He didn't stop there. He said, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Amen. Really? He said that? Yeah, he said that. And he didn't leave any wiggle room either. I want you to look at that. Let's look at that just a minute. Everyone. Let's see, everyone. Now what? Does that mean what it says? Then why do people say it's not necessary to be baptized? Why do churches teach, well, you don't have to be baptized to be saved? Well, looks to me like it. Be baptized. Baptizo means to plunge under or to immerse. That's what it means. Everyone. Yeah, that means everyone. In the Greek, that's what it means, everyone. In the English, that's what it means, everyone. It doesn't change. Whatever language you put that in, it means everyone. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Well now. Is that what that says? And you know what? That's what they did. That's what they did every time. They never did put that triune formula in there. They never did go back to Matthew 28:19 and say, well, Jesus said. No, they did it just like that right there. Every time somebody was baptized in the book of Acts, they always, without exception, baptized them in water by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And it never changed. And it never changed. I'm preaching Pentecost. I'm just preaching what Peter preached. Is that all right? Amen. Praise God. It may not appeal to somebody else, but I'm just telling you today, I'm telling you what meaneth this. What does it mean? Amen. So he went ahead and preached it just like that. And he said, and you shall receive the gift. Everybody say the gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost. I've heard people say, do I have to get the Holy Ghost? Amen. That's like saying, God, do I have to receive this gift from you? Are you going to make me take it, God? Do I have to have the Holy Ghost? Oh, please, God, don't give me the Holy Ghost. I don't want to get a gift. Most people go nuts when they get a gift, especially a gift from God. You ought to be jumping up and down saying, my Lord, where can I get it? When can I receive it? How do I get that? Why do people have reluctance about receiving something from God? Ought to be the most exciting thing, and it will be when you get it. I've never heard anybody receive the Holy Ghost disappointed. And then I've heard them say all kinds of other stuff, but I've never heard them say, oh, what a dud. Hallelujah. When you get a new life and you get a new spirit and you get a new heart. Amen. Something changes inside of you. Amen. Now I've known a few people got cold and apostate, say some things. I've known some people get bitter in their heart and get mad at God, say some things. I've never heard anybody, when they receive the Holy Ghost, say anything but the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. This is what it means, folks. Amen. What meaneth this? That's exactly what it's talking about. People receive for the very first time on the planet Earth the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. And did he stop there? Now, how many times have I heard this? I've heard people always say, people say this all the time. They say, well, that was just for the apostles. Oh, really? It says there were 120 in the upper room. And it said all of them. But I say all of them. So at least 120, that's already blown your theory out of water. All of them were filled with the Holy Ghost, not just the 12 apostles. Then the Bible says there were added to them that day about 3,000. Well, it doesn't say they got the Holy Ghost. Well, that's what that right there says. He said repent. They repented. They were baptized. As many as believe were baptized. And I don't see any reason to doubt they got the Holy Ghost. Do you? Nah. I may be a little off here, but that's what it sounds to me. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent. And he tells them, now listen to verse 39, for the promise is unto you, to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God. So it's right. It's for you. It's for me. It's for our children. And their children too. Amen. This Holy Ghost that Jesus is giving away. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, it's still real today. God still wants us to receive it. The Bible said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is that. Amen. What does it mean? It means you can have the Holy Ghost today. That's what it means. It means that Jesus Christ came. Amen. He lived a perfect life. He offered himself as our sinless and perfect and pure sacrifice. It means that he died for our sins. He shed his blood. He died for our sins. He was buried. He resurrected on the third day. And you do the same thing, you see. When you repent, that means you're dying to your sins. I said you're dying to your sins. Amen. You're putting away your sins. You don't want to sin anymore. Anybody feel like that today? Anybody through with sin today? Anybody ready to put sin away? Anybody ready to bury the past? Anybody ready to let your old stinking life of yesterday be buried? That's what it's all about. Water baptism is burying your sins. And we're going to baptize somebody. The water's ready right now. If anybody wants to be baptized this morning, we're going to baptize somebody tonight. But if you want to be buried and you want to get rid of your sins, that's how you do it. You go under in Jesus' name, and when you come up, your sins remain. They'll not come up with you. Hallelujah! And then you have the promise that you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I have the happy privilege of telling you this morning that the Holy Ghost of 2012 is the same Holy Ghost that was at Pentecost, 33 A.D. It has not changed. Amen. I don't know what some people believe, but God doesn't have different kinds of Holy Ghost. God doesn't have some good Holy Ghost and some inferior Holy Ghost. God doesn't have some Macy's or some what's the name of that fancy place? Neiman Marcus Holy Ghost for somebody and some Goodwill Holy Ghost for somebody else. Amen. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, they didn't get the same Holy Ghost I got. But if they got the Holy Ghost, they did. Because God just got one kind. He never, ever gives anybody anything else than His Holy Spirit. And God only has one kind of Holy Spirit. That's His. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The problem is not the Holy Ghost. It's how much of you the Holy Ghost gets. That's what determines the outcome. If the Holy Ghost gets all of you, then it's going to be all right, Brother Hunt. But if the Holy Ghost just gets a little bit of you, and the rest of it the devil in the flesh gets, there's going to be problems. Shake your head like this. Yeah, there's going to be problems with Christians. Yep. Don't blame it on the Holy Ghost. Don't blame it on the Holy Ghost. Amen. God gives everybody the same Holy Ghost. Amen. It's the same today as it was then. And the promise is still ours. Amen. Let me wrap this up here. The Bible said, what did it say in Joel chapter 2 and verse 38? And again here in Acts chapter 2. The Bible said, in the last day, saith God, I will do what? I will pour out. Amen. In the Greek, that means pour out. And in the Hebrew, that means pour out. It means to empty. The Bible says, I will pour out my Spirit. Amen. And when He did that, earth became a sea of Holy Ghost. We live in an atmosphere of Holy Ghost everywhere we go. We walk in Holy Ghost. It's all around us. Amen. Have you ever, you know, you ever go underwater and you're surrounded by the water? You know, if you open your mouth, water comes in. If you open your nose, water comes in. If you try to breathe, water comes in because you're immersed in water. The only way to keep water out is to keep your mouth shut and keep your nose closed. Don't breathe because you'll get water. And until you get out of water, that's what's going to happen. Amen. Let me tell you, the only way to keep from getting the Holy Ghost is to keep your mouth shut and to keep your heart closed. Amen. To keep your mind closed. Amen. Just don't take it in. Just make sure it doesn't come in. That's the only way to keep the Holy Ghost out. Because as soon as you open up and you begin to worship and you begin to praise, hey, let me tell you something. God doesn't have some little cup. And when you get ready for the Holy Ghost, He sends an angel and says, all right, now pour it on Him, boy. Amen. That's what the woman at the well, she said, I don't have a bucket. Amen. I don't have a cup. Not David said, fill my cup. This is not about a cup. This is about a well. Amen. And so God does just wait until you get ready. He's got this one. Come on, hurry, hurry. Bring me a cup of Holy Ghost. He's ready to get it. No, it's not like that. It's an ocean of Holy Ghost. It's everywhere. Amen. And the only way we keep it out is by keeping from confessing our sins, repenting of our sins. And you repent, and then you believe, and you begin to worship, and you begin to pray, and Holy Ghost will come in. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't think of a better day and a better time to receive the Holy Ghost than right now on Pentecost Sunday. Let's stand together. Anybody believe today? Anybody want to receive this morning? It's right here, right now. God is ready, and the Holy Ghost is here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you'd like to have the Holy Ghost, why don't you just come get it right now? My mom used to say that. When supper was ready on the table, she'd say, come and get it. We'd be out playing somewhere and then we'd take off. What we were doing? Supper's on the table. Here I come. Amen. I'm telling you, Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is here. The Lord's ready. Come and get it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I'd already be here. Praise the Lord. Let me have that. Amen. I want that. God, give me that. Hallelujah. If I did have the Holy Ghost, I still think I'd come. I think I'd come and say, Lord, I want some more. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I need a Pentecostal blessing this morning, because it's Pentecost Sunday. And I just want to come celebrate. I want to come open my heart to you. Amen. Let's come, saints of God. I want you to come thanking God today. I want you to come worshiping the Lord today. Anybody got the Holy Ghost? Let's come acting like we got the Holy Ghost. Let's come thanking God because we do have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to see some hands raised. Amen. I'd like to see some people praising God, pouring out the heart to the Lord this morning, giving God thanks. Lord, I thank you because my sins are gone. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for cleansing me today. I thank you for washing away all my sins.
Keeping me alive, it's the Holy Ghost inside.